Thank you for joining us on another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning we want to answer the question, is one church as good as another? That question has an answer, but it depends upon what you mean by the church. And so sometimes that question might be answered, yes, one church is as good as another. Sometimes it might be answered, maybe, depending upon what you're talking about. And then sometimes it is answered no, if you're talking about the Lord's church. And so this morning we want to answer that question with God's Word. It's a very common question. This question is often asked by religious people. Many of them are sincere, some are not sincere. But they will ask the question, is one church as good as another? And some make the point that it is, and it doesn't really matter. Sometimes you'll see signs posted, join the church of your choice. And sometimes religious leaders will talk about joining the church of your choice. One church is as good as another. Many denominations exist today which cause this question to be asked. There are many different churches with many different kinds of names. Look in Springfield and the surrounding area, all different kinds of choices. They're teaching different kinds of doctrines. They have different worship, not just the style of worship, but different acts of worship. They're organized differently. They do different kinds of work. They have creeds, creed books that they follow. Sometimes you don't see this when you walk into the church building, but the preacher or the pastor, the reverend, the minister, they follow a particular creed book. The leadership of that church follows a particular creed book. They have different plans of salvation. Some are faith only. Some baptize infants. Others do not. Some have different plans of salvation. And so it has become very common to ask, is one church as good as another? We want to answer this question from God's Word. It must be answered that way, not from human opinion. I'm not going to give you my opinion this morning. We always want to let the Bible speak. That's why we call this program the Let the Bible Speak program. We know that God's Word is true and we can trust God's Word. We can't trust man, myself included. We want to go to the Word of God. And so, what does God's Word say about this matter? The proper answer to this question, I believe, begins with a proper understanding of the word church. What do you mean by church? People mean different things by that word. Some people mean a building. They'll pass by and talk about, look at that beautiful church over there. Never in the New Testament was the word church used for a physical building. It's very common to speak of it that way. But that's not how it's used in the New Testament. It's always used of people. A good way to illustrate that is when Saul of Tarsus, before he was converted and became Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was persecuting the church. Well, he wasn't persecuting a building. He was persecuting people. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, that is Stephen's death, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad. They, people, the church. Come on down to verse 3. But Saul laid waste the church, entering into every house, and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. He laid waste the church. He didn't attack a building. He attacked men and women and committed them to prison. The church are people. You see that again illustrated in Acts chapter 11. With regard to Stephen's death and Paul persecuting the church, they were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that rose about Stephen. Different ones were preaching the word different places. And we find that when some came to Antioch, they were preaching the Lord Jesus. And then we find in verse 22, and the report concerning them came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, Acts 11:22, the ears of the church. Obviously, that's not a building. A building doesn't have ears. People do. And so when Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. He's talking about building a group of people who are saved according to his plan. And if you turn over to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, notice each one of those words. It's very important. Upon this rock, he's talking about the confession of Peter. He's not talking about Peter himself. The Catholic Church teaches that Peter was the first pope, and the church is built upon Peter. No, it's upon his statement that he had just made. The church is built upon the statement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus says, I, it's something that Jesus built, not man. I will, it's future tense from this time and place. It wasn't built during the lifetime of Jesus at this time in Matthew 16. I will build my church. It belongs to Jesus, a church belonging to Jesus Christ, a church of Christ. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, local churches of people were called churches of Christ. They belong to Christ. They don't belong to man. They're not named after man. Some of the denominations that we have are named after men, like Lutheran, the Lutheran Church, Martin Luther. Some churches are named after a particular organization, like the Presbyterian Church. Some churches are named after a particular day, like the Seventh Day Adventist Church. Some churches are named after their organization or work, the Methodist Church, or a particular action like baptism, the Baptist Church. You see, and we could go on and on and on. All of these names are not related to Jesus. They're related to other kinds of things. They don't bring attention to Jesus. They don't focus on Jesus, but on other kinds of things. I will build my church, Jesus said. Its description needs to focus on Jesus. And so, what is the answer to this question? Is one church as good as another? And so, let's take a look at that. Are we speaking of the Lord's church when we ask this question? Are we speaking of a particular local church in a particular area? Are we speaking of all Christians everywhere? What are we talking about? Church is often used in the religious world, and even by some members of churches of Christ, in an unscriptural way. For example, some say all religious people make up the church. It was never used that way in the New Testament. Only those who had come out of the world and maybe had come out of some other religion to be baptized into Christ and be a member of his church. Some people say that all Protestant denominations make up the church. Some people say the Catholic Church makes up the church. Some say all churches of Christ make up the church. We have to answer this question based upon the word church as it is used in the New Testament. It's used two different ways, of local Christians in one place, or all Christians everywhere. The church of the firstborn ones, Hebrews 12, verse 23, all Christians everywhere whose names are enrolled in heaven. So, is one church as good as another? Let's answer that question. First of all, the answer is yes if you are talking about one man-made church and another man-made church. They're all the same. If you're talking about a particular denomination started by a man or a woman, there are a few churches like the Christian Science Church that were started by women, Mary Baker Eddy. If you're talking about a church that is started by a man or a woman, yes, one church is as good as another. It really doesn't matter. Just pick one. You could pick one close to your house. You could pick one where your friends go. You could pick one based upon a number of different conveniences or reasons that you might have. They're all the same. All man-made churches are equal when it comes to their relationship to God. And if it was something that God did not plant through his son, Jesus Christ, they're going to be plucked up. Jesus said, talking about the Jewish Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. He's talking about the Pharisees back in verse 1. Leave them alone. They are blind guides. If the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into the pit. And he said in verse 13 that they will be plucked up. Jesus said that this group would be plucked up. Leave them alone. And the Jewish religion, if you're talking about that which followed the Old Testament law, that was planned by God. That was planted by God when he gave his law to the Jews on Mount Sinai, when Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt. But the Pharisees started long after that. That was a religious group started by man. And they had traditions of men. And they were far from God. Verse 8, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. So it was a religious Jewish group, but it was teaching doctrines of men. And those doctrines were causing the people to transgress the commandment of God, verse 3. So it was a Jewish religious group that was similar in many ways to what God gave at Mount Sinai, but it was formed much later, probably 1,200 years after the giving of the law of Moses, during the intertestamental period. And it was a man-made Jewish religious group, the Pharisees. And Jesus said that they would be plucked up. And so, if we're in a religious group that is started by men, and if that's what we're talking about, one is as good as another. It doesn't matter. Just pick one. But understand that we're in a group started by man and not by Jesus. If it's not in the New Testament, it's started by man. It's not by Jesus. And we really need to get out of that and come be a part of the Lord's church. Now, is one church as good as another? Well, the answer is maybe. If you're talking about a man-made church and a local church of Christ, there are those who claim to be members of the Lord's church. They don't want to be a part of any man-made denomination. They describe themselves as a church of Christ. But when you begin to look at their, again, their doctrines and their practices, many of them are just like the denominations. Some local churches of Christ are no different in concept than man-made churches. They have themselves man-made doctrines and organizations. And they've left the pattern of the New Testament. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul tells Timothy to hold fast the pattern of sound words. And yet, they've left that pattern. There are many things that they're doing that are according to the pattern. There are other things that are not according to the pattern. And then that's what makes them man-made. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God, as if it were God speaking. The only way we can do that is to have a church, a group of people, based upon the book, chapter, and verse, the very word of God. But when people begin to add to and take from the word of God, including some in local churches of Christ, then they're certainly man-made. It's not book, chapter, and verse. It's what man wants, not what God wants. And so the answer might be maybe. If you're talking about a local church of Christ that is no different than a man-made denomination, again, the answer might be maybe. If you're talking about a different local church of Christ, some local churches of Christ, if you compare one church of Christ with another church of Christ, you'll find that they're different. In Robertson County, you may have noticed there are different churches of Christ. There's the Main Street Church of Christ and the Hillcrest Church of Christ. There's the group of brethren who meet where I preach on Memorial Boulevard. There's the Green Ridge Church of Christ. There's the Robertson County Church of Christ and Stroudsville Church of Christ and Cedar Hill and Adams and Coopertown and Cross Plains and Orlando, etc. There's different churches of Christ around. And again, just because that name is on the sign doesn't mean that they are actually following Christ in everything that they're doing. Some local churches of Christ are liberal, and I use that word not in the sense of generous. Sometimes we use that word liberal in the sense of generous, but in the sense of going beyond Bible authority. They go beyond, they go outside of the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. Rather than being conservative and staying within the doctrine of Christ, they go beyond that. They add to the pattern of the New Testament church. Sometimes they'll do this with regard to their work. They do things and call it a church work that they don't have Bible authority for. And some are doing things with regard to worship, adding instrumental music or adding women preachers, things such as that. If not in the Robertson County area, at least in the Nashville area, Middle Tennessee area, we see that. And not just that, but some local churches of Christ might, through the preaching or through the eldership, might foster sinfulness. They might allow sinful things. They might allow an unscriptural marriage, divorce, and remarriage. They might allow other things that are not proper. In fact, that should be no surprise. It should be no surprise that a church that claims to belong to Christ has things within it that are not right, because that was even going on in John's day. If you look at the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are seven churches there, and the majority of them are condemned in some way for doing something that is wrong. With regard to the church at Ephesus, what do we find in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4? I have this against thee, that thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent. The church at Ephesus was not a man-made denomination. That's not what made it wrong. Paul, the Apostle Paul himself, started that church by preaching the gospel in the city of Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19. This was not a man-made denomination. This was a church belonging to Christ. And yet later, they had left their love. You can turn to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, talking about the church at Pergamum. I have a few things against thee, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, verse 16. So a local church that was started right, that belongs to Christ, can allow sinful things to enter in. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. I have this against thee regarding the church at Thyatira. You suffer or allow the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication. Well, that's clearly wrong. In chapter 3, the church at Sardis. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and thou art dead. I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received, and didst hear, and keep, and repent. See, the church at Sardis had to repent. Come on down to the church at Laodicea in chapter 3 and verse 14. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot, so because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Once again, verse 19, be zealous therefore and repent. And so, even in the New Testament times, those local churches that were established properly upon the word of Christ, they belonged to Christ, even they had man-made practices and teachings and ideas that allowed them to leave the faith. They needed to repent. Only those who repent are those who need to come back in some way. They've left their sinful things in the church. And Jesus, through the Apostle John, is telling these brethren, these churches, these Christians, to come back. So if we're talking about local churches of Christ, the answer might be maybe. Is one church as good as another? Well, maybe. If you're talking about all churches of Christ today that are liberal and that are allowing sinful things, yes, one is as good as another. But we don't want to be a part of any of that kind of thing. Is one church as good as another? Well, now the answer is no. No. If you're talking about a man-made church today, a denomination, and the Lord's church today, a group of people who are strictly following what is in the New Testament, then there's a difference. One is a man-made church. The other is a church that is seeking to be the Lord's church and can actually demonstrate that by pointing to the book, chapter, and verse. We can and must be a part of the Lord's church as it is found in the New Testament. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And in Acts chapter 2, that church began on the day of Pentecost when some 3,000 were baptized. In Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's the beginning of the Lord's church that he said he would build in Matthew 16 and verse 18. And from that day forward, there have always been those who have wanted to be a part of the Lord's church, and it happens the same way all throughout time for the past 2,000 years, that individuals leave their life of sin, or they leave even a religion that they're in, and they read their Bible, and they come, and they simply follow the New Testament. Just earlier this week, I was traveling with my brother. We were doing some sightseeing. We went to Tompkinsville, Kentucky, which is not far from here. I wanted to visit the old Mulkey Meeting House. I had heard of that through the years. In 1798, John Mulkey, a Baptist preacher, traveling around preaching in different churches, in 1798, began preaching in Tompkinsville, Kentucky. And from 1798 to 1809, about 10 or 11 years there, while he was traveling around preaching, he was reading his Bible, he was having Bible studies in homes with different individuals, and came to the conclusion that things that he was teaching was not according to the New Testament. And so he left the religion that he was in. He wanted simply to be a New Testament Christian, and others followed him in that desire to be a part of a New Testament church, not a part of any kind of conference or synod or collection or group of churches. That's what he had been a part of in that area of Kentucky, and wanted to separate from that, and because he saw that that was not in the New Testament. He saw that baptism for the remission of sins was in the New Testament. He saw that each local church was independent. There was no synod or conference or some sort of a group, a convention to bind churches together. And so he left that. He was also teaching the Calvinistic doctrine, John Calvin's doctrine of the predestination of individuals. And he saw that that was not in the New Testament, John Calvin's version of predestination. And so he left that as well. Some wanted to charge him with heresy when they held a meeting for that, when they held an inquiry, an inquisition on that. The charges were dropped because they could not find any wrong in him. When we leave a particular denomination that we've grown up in to be a simple New Testament Christian, there are going to be people who don't like that. And we might even be persecuted for that. But we have to have the faith and the courage and the strength and the love for truth to do that very thing. He and his wife and family and others did that. And they began meeting there, and the people who had to make a decision one way or the other, they were all meeting in this log cabin building. But those who came and followed John Mulkey were known to stay in that particular log cabin building, and you can still see that to this day. It's called the Old Mulkey Meeting House. But we're looking at a man who just simply left what he was doing religiously because he read his Bible more and more and found that what he was doing and saying and believing is not in the New Testament. So we can have that love for truth, and we can come and be a part of the Lord's church. The Lord's church in the New Testament and today is the same one. The group of people, Jesus said, I will build my church, whether it was in the book of Acts there, beginning on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, or today. There's just one body. Anybody who is baptized scripturally is baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. We all put on Christ, Galatians 3, 27. There's one body and one head, Ephesians 1, 23, Ephesians 2, 16. There's one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4. That's not all man-made churches. That's all Christians of all time who have been scripturally baptized and have been scripturally obeying the gospel, a member of a local church that follows the scripture, the New Testament pattern. And that's what we want to be a part of today. If some people says, well, it really doesn't matter, you know, one church is as good as another, I would turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, the seven ones. The seven ones, read those. Is one God as good as another? Well, you would say, no, the God of Scripture, He's the one true God. Okay. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, there's one God, but there's also one body, and that's the church. So, one body, one God. What about one Lord? Does it matter whether we follow Jesus or some other Lord? Well, of course. One Holy Spirit is as good as another? You see, that doesn't work on that, does it? One baptism is as good as another? One hope is as good as another? It doesn't matter whether you believe in heaven or you believe that nothing's going to happen after you die. They're all the same. No, we understand. See, there's just one hope. There's one God. There's one Lord. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one faith. Well, there's also one body. And so, friends, we would encourage you to be a part of that. Leave any denominational body and become a New Testament Christian. And if I can help you to study the scripture like John Mulkey did some 200 years ago, let's do that. Let's leave any sort of an unscriptural Church of Christ if it's not following. Be a simple New Testament Christian and be united with other New Testament Christians upon the Word of God. Jesus said that we can all be one based upon the words, His Word, given through the apostles, John 17 and verse 20. We thank you for joining us for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. Please tune in next week where we will study God's Word again. And if in the meantime we can help you to be a member of that church belonging to Christ, please contact us. Let's sit down and study the Word of God, baptize you into Christ so that you can be that simple New Testament Christian. Thank you for listening this morning.